Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Kur'an-ı Kerim adım gidiyor. Amongst the last of the Muslim Mughal rulers of India. And it is unanimously agreed that he was a great alim and a great saintly person as well. The Kitab Fatawa Alamgiri was prepared in his supervision. He supervised the whole Kitab, and up to this day it's a Fatwa Kitab that is used throughout the Hanafi world. Already three centuries passed and it's a reference book. So now India is a very vast kingdom for a small place like South Africa, only 60 million. India now presently 1.5 billion. And then you can imagine, alright, 300 years ago it could have been nothing less than 600 million. But in that zamana, communications were not as fast or swift as today. And the population was not like today, and the communication, transport wasn't as swift as what it is today. So the man has to see the whole India. India means that zamana. India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Ceylon, and Afghanistan. That's all under him, coming under him. All right to India, right to China, all under him. All that Himalaya, mountains, all that comes under him. So now, a lot of things in a kingdom is based on trust. I trust that he will do it like this, and I trust he will do it like this. But there can be errors as well, and the king needs to be very alert, extremely alert. You have to sleep. Once you are a king now, or you're the ruler in the day of the Khulafa'i Rashidin was not a life of pleasure and enjoyment. No. Then your sleep goes away, you can't sleep. Every moment you're worried what's happening. What's happening to the poor, what's happening to the underfortunate, misfortunate people, what's happening to them? Is any person oppressed in their kingdom? So that's a constant fikr, constant concern. And then all to see that everything is conforming to the Shari'i standards, to see the plight of the poor and the misfortunate, underprivileged, and also to ensure that everything happens in conformity with the Sharia. So now, one young woman is married now. She's married, and she comes to complain to Alamgir Rahmatullah Alayh that, you see, I come from this town, and the leader there, you know, different towns, we have a mayor, councillor. So the leader, it is his instruction that I must spend the first week with him, whereas I am married to this person. So Alamgir Rahmatullah Alayh got a straight face. With a straight face he says, yes, then be with her then, be with him then. But I've got a husband. No, be with him. Remain with him for that week as he's demanding. So now she says, but if it was your own daughter then? Now, in an authoritative tone, I'm instructing you, you must be with him. So now, Alamgir Rahmatullah knows this a thing like royal protocol. So something is gazetted, then the one that is under, he will come and offer his respects, token of appreciation, that you have condoned this for me. So So the next step now, before he can sleep with her, he'll come to the palace, he'll offer his recognition, his appreciation. So he came to offer his appreciation that you have allowed me this comfort and this luxury. Came. Now, these Moguls were also very, very strong, very strong. So this came one slap, one shot. And the historians write, the shot was such that his whole skull cracked. Now the question is this, that why did Alamgir Rahmatullah Alayh initially to tell him that, daughter, you be with him. That's the word he used, my daughter, you be with him. That's the question. So if it was wrong, he would have could have said at the beginning, this is wrong, and how can this injustice be done to you? But I explained that the king and the leader has to be very alert. Because when there is a prominent person, a dignitary, luminary, right, then people want to take advantage, right, and they want to blackmail. So the possibility is that she may have blackmailed the person, that you give me so much, otherwise I will say that you attempted this type of an activity. You attempted to rape me. I will, so you rather see me right. The possibility is there. And then to investigate the case becomes very difficult. See, because person of position, influence, etc., then is it easy to go and investigate that this person is wrong? He's with all the contacts, everybody's under him. He must say something and it's done, right? So the whole country is under his influence. To commission an inquiry is not an easy thing. But now, when he came as a mark of respect and as a token of appreciation, to offer his appreciation that this provision, this was allowed for me. So this confession then, see, in any court case, to award judgment, you require one of two things. One is, you need satisfactory, reliable witnesses, right? So there are witnesses to this, reliable, satisfactory, meeting the court's standards, right? That type of witnesses you need. Or the criminal himself, he's admitting himself, I'm admitting. So when he showed, came to offer his appreciation that this law, this provision, this comfort was awarded to me. So that's admission then. You don't need anything further. So when you are passing judgment, you need one or two, either witnesses that will satisfy judicial standards, right? Or if you can't find that, then there must be an admission of guilt by the criminal himself. Otherwise, how is the court going to pass judgment? Is there any way else? One or two. There must be satisfactory witnesses that will come, that will conform to the standards for admission. Now when he did this, so now there was admission. When there's admission, then now he has to execute punishment. See? So he doesn't have to go through the whole process of inquiring, finding out, investigation. So the one that is Kamil, Sahiran and Batiran. In other words, he is competent and he is perfect, both in his exterior and his inner self. Exterior means all conforming with the Sharia. If you look at him, then you don't find any inconsistency in him. If the law of the Sharia is don't use vulgar language, then you don't see vulgarity. If the law of the Sharia is that don't get involved in any type of illicit relationship, big or small, that you see him miles away from it, right? if the law of the Sharia is there must be no such a thing like robbing, fraudulent dealings, then he's away from it. If the law of the Sharia is there mustn't be anything intoxicant, right? So that you can see now outwardly his conformity. And in his inner self also there is conformity. There is the level of sincerity, righteousness, virtue within also. So such a person, sometimes he may say something and it may not appear to be right. Like how he told his girl here, "My daughter, you better be with him for the night." So he won't be wrong. He knows what he's doing and he knows what's going to be the whole procedure like. So both is before him. That if he has to engage in this manner, he will have to get the royal blessings. Once he's got the royal blessings now that is now endorsed to him. And when it's endorsed for him, nobody can say anything. So, but he had to allow the procedure to be followed. You can't just pass judgment. How can you pass judgment? You haven't commissioned an inquiry, you haven't done anything, no inquiry. In the meanwhile, this girl who made the claim, who complained, right? If Alamgir Ramzai didn't use this approach here, right, then her life would have been in danger. Someone or the other could put her away. Imagine now, such a serious case, and you think her life would have been safe. She would have been in danger. So this was the safest way. But outwardly, how it appeared? Outwardly, it appeared like, hey, what is man is talking about? Let's go and sleep with her. What is he saying? So the one that is perfect, both competent and perfect, both within and outer self, within his inside character, etc., it's all clear, you can see, you don't see any inconsistency in him. And outwardly also he is perfect, then on the light note, Alamgir Rahmatullah Alayh, he's when he's undertaking a journey, then he will find out, alright, we are going, say, from here to Ladysmith, right? So, en route from here to Ladysmith, are there any prominent, pious, righteous people, ulama? So we'll take along gifts. If there's great people, prominent, then he will bestow them with gifts. So, now, one of the attendants of the court, he heard that Alamgir Rahmatullah is traveling to Ladysmith, for example, right? He's traveling to Ladysmith. He's telling one lesson that we learned, right? Ladysmith, right? There's two towns, with Smith in South Africa, Ladysmith and Harry Smith. Ladysmith and Harry Smith. And both are husband and wife. I'm asking the question, why Harry, they said Harry Smith. But his wife, they didn't use her name, they said Lady Smith. Why? That is an Islamic etiquette. Right? The Islamic etiquette is, the wife is, you don't talk about the wife by name. Okay, Jamila said this, or whoever said this, right? You don't take the name. You take, so as though you're saying that, like I want her to be concealed, then her name has to be concealed as well. So much of parda and respect for that woman. Like she must be concealed, then her name must be concealed. And the only woman whose name has been taken in the Quran Sharif was Maryam alayhi salam, right, the mother of Isa alayhi salam. And that was, there was a need, there was an excruciating need for the Quran Sharif to take a name, because the Jews had gone into extremes. The Jews, they said that he's an illegitimate product, the son of Joseph the carpenter. So that's what they said. The Jews went on one extreme, right? And the Christians, they all mixed up. Christians, some say no, that the marriage had taken place, but there was, she didn't leave the marital home as yet. So the marriage had taken place, but she didn't leave the marital home, and they didn't meet, you see. Whereas, both are wrong. This group also is wrong, who say that na'uz billah, illegitimate, that's wrong. And this group also is wrong, which says that his mother, Maryam, was married. So she is a virgin, and she died a virgin. So both are wrong. So to clear the name of Isa alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala has to say Isa ibn Maryam. So that's the only Nabi whose parent as lineage is mentioned also. No other Nabi, Fula ibn Fula. But for Isa alayhi salam, the lineage is also explained to clear up this doubt. Qal Allahu ya Isa ibn Maryam. So he's still coming back to the story, Ali Smith and Lady Smith. And nobody knows. So I said it's because of respect. So like the woman is respected, then her name also is respected. And see, the Islamic Khilafat had ended at about 1920. So as long as the Khilafat remained, the effects of the Khilafat went throughout the world. So right to 1920, there was some consciousness of shame, modesty. So you mustn't look at it, but if you've seen photos of 1920, 1910, you will see all women, their dresses are till their ankle. So you don't look at photos, but if you see non-Muslim women also, their dresses are till, and all non-Muslim women, and on the 1910s, they covered their heads also. They used to have some type of a hat or something, big hat, but the head used to be covered, and the dresses used to be long. Number three is the dresses used to be loose, not body hugging. So all this is the effect of Islam, see. But then after 1920, the Khilafat had ended. The Ottoman Khilafat ended. When it ended, the Western influence began to spread, right? And when the Western influence began to spread, now that word shame and modesty has to be removed from the dictionary. There's no such thing. What do you mean by shame, modesty, illicit, all these things will be out of the dictionary. So they don't have an understanding of modesty, of shame. I think absolutely is gone. So when the right people were there, so the influences also carried on for some time. But when they had gone, and the wrong people had come in, so their influences also came up. See, the Arabic saying says, "Annasu ala dini mulukihim." Right? People, they normally, they're influenced by their leaders. What? The influence is by the leaders. Whoever is like holding the shots, running the world, it's their influence that runs. Right? How you know that? Now, I ask you, this covert story, where he started from? That law, implementing this law and all that distancing, all that, and vaccine, where he started from? See? Huh? From Zululand? Or Swaziland? Huh? Huh? England? Holland, England? Right? New Zealand? And America land? That's where it started off, right? But because they got the influence, right? What they say runs. They influence, right? They influence, so they influence the decisions. And then the rest of the world has to just tag along with them. Annasu ala dini mulukim. So it's a crucial period we're living in. Right? If they say that this must be the dress now, like tights, torn jeans, torn from the, so that it looks ugly, obviously. And that, that's what the type of figure, what they call it? Punk, huh? That thing looks like that person looks like an iblis, shaitan. You know, that becomes a style. People feel proud about doing it. It's so ugly, and people feel proud about doing it. So people are influenced by the leaders. These, whatever the leaders say. So leaders themselves won't appear on the screen, but they'll have their puppets and all that to appear, to make appearances somehow to Hollywood, Bollywood, all that. So this is the agency. They make those appearances, and they make that appearance, people are viewing that, this is the fashion, this is what is to be worn. So the whole world will wear the same thing, right? So this is how they influence. So we're talking of Alamgir Rahmatullahi, and we're showing honesty, how they were ruling, right? A big country, massive country, could say at least 500 million, but in that zamana, when there isn't easy communication, no transport, but you can't find any murder, you can't find any person oppressed, right throughout the length and the breadth. Right? India is a massive country, like a continent on itself, so massive. But you can't see anything. Look at the record, you find a Muslim or a non-Muslim, both enjoy all the privileges. Muslim enjoys it, non-Muslim enjoys it, all privileges you enjoy. And you can't find, at that time, you can't find a poor person. Nobody wants to accept zakat. Because they're so well organized, that everything is found. Now you see in India, right, you travel through Muzaffarnagar, Sahanpur, especially you travel to the villages, right, the roads are there, you'll find something prominent. You'll find trees on both sides of the roads. Right. And the branches are all meeting up. Right. So that was actually Siru Fiha Layaliya wa Iyaman Aminin. It was like a reflection of that. Travel by night and by day. But see, India is a very hot country, right? Temperatures can go up to 35, 40 degrees, right? But now, the whole road is shaded like this. So, how easily they are traveling. Can you see that? So, all these things were planned out by the Muslim leaders. You travel also with ease, with security, nothing to be afraid about. Then they had, it didn't stop there. Then they had stations at every 25, 30 kilometers. So a traveler in that zamana was traveling about 35, 40 kilometers every day, right? You're traveling by horse or by wagon, so you're traveling maximum 35 kilometers. So at every station or 35 kilometers, there's a station. You rest there, and whatever requirements you have, you will see what your requirements, and then you move on from there. Okay. So the roads are all shaded. Siru fiha layaliya wa iyaman amini. Secure, nothing to be afraid about. You go to a station, you go and rest there nicely, and then you recommence your journey, carry on. So, we're talking about the story. Alamgir Ramtari is traveling to Ladysmith, you know. Just for our convenience to use the word convenience, Ladysmith. So now, some of the persons knew that he's going, and this is his style, that if there's any great pious person, a prominent alim, and he's scheduled to leave in about 9 months. So, one person became very pious now. You know, that's called this road here. So, he went on that road about say 60 kilometers away or 70 kilometers, became very pious. Until that whole town, this is a very pious person. Now he knows that Alamgir is going to go on the same road. So he's going to go, then he'll find out about the pious person, and then I'll cash in. See? So he became very pious until the whole town got to know about him. Both naked. Now, it happened, Alamgir came to that place because it's one of the major stops. The major stop, he must stop. And he sent his scout to find out who are the good pious people here, learned people here. So they spoke about this person. So Alamgir Rahmatullahi summoned him, called him. He summoned him and he offered him a couple of good thousands, you know, which were gold coins. So that person now, he threw it aside and he says, "Tu mujhe aapki tarah se dunya ka kutta samajhta hai. You think I am a dog of the world. I run behind the sticks here." And he threw it away. Alright. Now this person actually was a, in Urdu say, Behrupa. Behrupa is like a clown, is not a very good word. Like an actor, you know. So one day you can come like a buzrug, tomorrow you can appear like a shaitan. So he's an actor. He must just put the act. In the meanwhile, Alamgir Rahmatullahi was very impressed with him. Anyway, he was trying for long to catch Alamgir Rahmatullahi out. See, he'll appear as an actor, right? But Alamgir Rahmatullahi mustn't make it out that this is the person. So he was doing some things and Alamgir Rahmatullahi was catching on. So, "Oh, I know you. I know you." So when he identified him, then he's not eligible for the prize. He comes eligible of the prize if he was not identified. But he's not identified, can't identify, that was a real actor. Otherwise, you're not eligible for the prize. So that period was different, right? The poets also. So they recite poetry to the king, and that was their livelihood. So they must sing some nice poetry, and as they recite the poetry, and they become eligible. And one of the kings was such that he made an announcement, you know, through a challenge. He says, "It must be a poetry that I don't know of, right? Then you become eligible for that. You become eligible, right?" So the king had a terrific memory, right? You recite a poetry, 100 lines. In one sitting, he memorized it. He read it once, and he memorized it. But what was the challenge? The poetry that I don't know. Now they're reciting poetry, said, "I know it." So they can't catch him out. So one person now, he thought, "No, I must do something." So what he did is he made up a poetry, but with words that are very, very rarely used, you know. So one is like common words, and one is like very seldom used, very, very seldom used, right? So that type of words he used, right? And he wrote it on stone. The poetry of his, he wrote it in stone. And words that are very, very seldom used. So he came, now the king couldn't get it right, because the words are very, very rarely used. Now the king offered a challenge that whoever gets it right, and that amount of gold, you know, what you wrote, that amount of gold, can't get it right. So he brought out the stone now, 20 kilos, and the poetry is in there. So then he moved the guys out. So the king asked him, "But why did you disguise yourself?" "So I had to do it because every person reciting a poetry, your memory is such, you're picking it up straight away. Straight away you're picking it up. So we're not becoming eligible. The only way I could do it now is writing in stone and then write words that were very, very seldom used." You know how the legal terms are all that. So very, very seldom used. So he's coming back to this. So he was an actor, and each time he tried to act, play an act, Alamgir Rahmatullahi caught him out. When he caught him out, now he's not becoming eligible to a present. This time, he put the act, and Alamgir Rahmatullahi couldn't identify him. And to make matters worse, when he was offered the gift, he threw it out. Now he opened the guy's eyes. I said, oh, now I know you know. So now he says to the king, the king asking, you know, but you know, you're asking for the gift now, but then when the gift was offered to you initially, why did you reject it? See, you know, you came in the form of a pious person, right? And we spoke to you, we verified that you're a pious person, and we offered you a couple of 1,000 gold coins. But now why didn't you accept it? So now look at his answer. The answer was too good. His answer was, then the act wouldn't have been perfect. Had I accepted it, that means it's not keeping to the status of an extremely pious person to accept the scraps of this world, right? So had I accepted it, then I wouldn't have been conforming to that standard. Therefore I threw it out. Now, alright, after that I gave something to compensate for whatever showing me this thing. Right? So, these rulers, how they ran, what competence. At that time, every ruler, if you look at Rome and all that, Hercules, if you look at his life, he was a very educated person. He knew the scriptures, knew it exactly. He says, when he heard about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I knew that Nabi had come. I knew his description, everything. I asked the questions, I knew that this is a Nabi. But I didn't realize that the Nabi would come from amongst the Arabs. So, they weren't just any person that was appointed as a, just show, the show of hands, with the show of the hands that you are appointing a ruler. It wasn't like that. You know, how competent the person was, how educated, how well-mannered the person was. So on this, based on these values, people appointed as kings. But the whole system is gone now. So now you don't find any pleasure and enjoyment in this thing. This whole administration worldwide, you don't find enjoyment, you don't find happiness. If Allah Bakh shows the day, things take a full 180 degree circle, come back to the original. Allah Bakh Tawfiq Sikha.